So why don't we dive into it? Could I ask you to introduce yourself with a hello, my name is, and tell me where you are and what you do, sort of generally speaking.
So hello, my name is Kasper Mott-Paulsen. I'm a professor at Chalmers University of Technology in Sweden. And I have a background in chemistry, and I studied originally in Copenhagen, where I'm from Copenhagen in Denmark. But after my PhD, I moved to the US to Berkeley in California, where I worked with a solar energy storage system based on a very expensive material called ruthenium. So after I got a tenure track position in Sweden, I decided to continue the work on solar energy storage, but to work on a new system or an old system that we wanted to improve that is based on a norbornadiene quadricyclane photo switch.
Now, this is very interesting because the big challenge with solar energy and wind energy is that the source of energy is essentially limitless, but you've got to figure out how to store the energy. But with norbornadiene and other similar chemical compounds, not only does it absorb solar energy and capture solar energy, it actually stores it.
Exactly. So there are several things to this. As you said, we want to have a sustainable world society. And today we are basing our energy system mostly on fossil fuels. But there are a lot of new things happening with wind and solar, and that is great. But that only produces electricity or power when the sun shines and the wind blows. What people often don't think of is that heating and cooling are actually a much bigger part of the energy consumption. In the EU, 50% of our final end use of energy is going into heating and cooling, where 25% is power and 25% is transportation, roughly. So we decided to work on an energy storage system that can provide heat on demand. And a large part of this heating and cooling is heating in the so-called low to medium temperature range, which is heating something 100, 150 degrees. That is domestic heating applications and some industrial applications. And there our attention turned to the norbornadiene quadricyclane photo switch because it has some properties. It can absorb sunlight. It can store it, the energy, as chemical energy for a very long time. And it can then release the energy on demand. At least that is the idea of the concept. And we call the concept molecular solar thermal. But the challenge is that you can buy norbornadiene, but it does not absorb sunlight. It absorbs only UV light, and that's only a tiny fraction of the solar spectrum is UV light. So the challenge is to modify the system in order to be able to efficiently capture the sunlight.
What is norbornadiene?
Yeah. So it is a compound. It consists of 9 carbons, and it gets its name from borneol, a natural product that was isolated from some plants in Borneo many years ago. But it's a synthetic compound. It has the ability to absorb light. So when it absorbs light, it changes shape or isomerize to form another compound called quadricyclane. Quadri means 4 and cycle. So it has 4 cycles in it. And it's very strained, meaning that there's a lot of stored chemical energy. And this is the concept that you can switch between norbornadiene, absorb light, into quadricyclane, which stores the energy. And then when you convert quadricyclane to norbornadiene again, then you get the heat out. So you have a cycle between norbornadiene, absorb light, convert into quadricyclane, that stores energy and releases heat on demand.
And then you can take the product of that breakdown of norbornadiene that releases energy and recycle it right back? And
exactly. So the idea is to have a system that is recyclable, so you can run this cycle hundreds or thousands of times, and it's a liquid. So potentially, if this was fully developed, you would have a storage media that was like an oil, and where you store the energy, but it's a room stored at room temperature, so there's no need for isolation materials, and then you can transport this to where you need your heat, or store it for when you need your heat in a tank without any isolation material. But then when you want it, you can trigger the heat release using a catalyst, and then you get your heat out and you can heat your house or get your hot water or whatever you want to do with the heat. That is the idea.
Now, is norbornadiene hard to produce or costly to produce or toxic?
No, it's commercially available. It's but the problem is that it does not absorb sunlight. So our task has been to, or our research is about modifying this system to be more efficient in capturing sunlight and at the same time retaining high energy density and great cyclability. There's a lot of parameters you want to have at the same time. You want high energy density, cyclability, simple synthesis from cheap starting materials. And many of these things, these were the challenges 5 to 6 years ago. But during the last 2 years, we have solved, or at least partially solved, many of these challenges. Now we have a simple synthesis to some quite efficient compounds, meaning that you eventually, if you refine this, then you would have an economical way of producing this type of chemicals.
This seems like an astonishingly simple, inexpensive way to generate energy endlessly. When I first read about this, I was astonished. I wondered, like, why is it that this hasn't advanced further in its development? Perhaps it has, and I've just not heard.
No. It's not. There was some activity in the research domain in the universities in the 80s on this, and then there had not been so much activity for some decades, and then about 7-8 years ago, a number of people around the world started working with this, and I was one of them when I worked at UC Berkeley together with some professors there, and then other teams at MIT in Boston, and also Chinese teams and teams in Germany and Denmark, and now my group here in Sweden have started to work with this. And this has created some progress because today we have access to more modern chemistry tools. We have access to more computational tools so we can design these systems more efficiently. It's simply very difficult to get all the properties right. And there's still some development to be done. We are a research team of about 10 people. There's still some research to be done in order to make this ready to for the end user, but I mean we are working on trying to do this as fast as possible and looking for, of course, funding to do our research. So one of the key discoveries that we have made in the recent years is a way to design the molecule so that you can get both a very long energy storage time and a good solar spectrum match at the same time, because this has been one of the major challenges, that every time people try to improve the capture of sunlight, then the storage time went down. And you, of course, without storage time, without being able to store the energy for a long time, then you don't have a storage system.
And the interesting thing is that norbornadiene is converted into quadricycline, and quadricycline is very stable.
Yes. But that is true. But when we start to modify it, then this the time, we call it the half-life, the time it takes before half of the molecules have released their energy drops dramatically. So what we have been doing the last 2 years is to invent ways to get both a modified version that can absorb sunlight better and stay in the quadricyclane form for a long time. And we have been able to extend the lifetime by a factor of 100 by some small modifications. And that is sort of the major discovery we have made actually in the last 2 years, is that we have found ways to be able to do this. And this this design principle can now be used to design molecules that have better solar capture efficiencies, and this is why it's likely now that we will be able to develop systems that that can be efficient enough that you can really use them in the real world applications.
And in a real world application, what would the device look like? What would this thing, this Norbornadiene photo switch, look like if I were to go out and buy the prototype and install it in my house?
It will likely be, this is what we, the Norbornadiene would be sort of kind of dissolved in some kind of oil. So it will be likely be a orange or red oil that can be introduced into a solar collector that can then it has to be a special solar collector or a solar panel where the oil can be pumped and exposed to sunlight. It will be pumping during the day. It will be pumping the oil through the solar collector and storing the converted oil in some kind of storage tank. And then when the heat is needed, then the oil will be passed over a catalyst in order to release the stored energy.
Is Norbornadiene the only molecule that acts in this way?
No. There's a number of systems that people are exploring. There's a team at MIT exploring, developing similar concepts based on a system called azobenzene, which is basically a dye molecule that changes color and stores some energy when it do this. And there are also other systems. So there's a number of chemical systems that different research groups are developing. Trying to do the same, and all of the systems have different advantages and challenges. And I mentioned the Norbornadiene has the challenge this with the storage time and the energy capture, solar energy capture efficiency, but it has the advantage of a very high energy density, and some of the other systems have other challenges. So this is one of the things. I mean, in different groups are trying to push their systems and make them more efficient. And of course, we work with the systems we believe most in.
So I would imagine that each of these groups is working on a system that's kind of on path to be commercialized, and that there are companies out there that are kind of just jostling and positioning themselves to try to move some of these photo switches into actual commercial production.
There exist some products that have elements of this. There exist, for example, photochromic sunglasses, sunglasses that change color when they're exposed to sunlight. They have photo switches in them, but they don't have the energy storage capability. They just become darker when you go out in the sunlight. So right now, to my knowledge, there is no companies trying to do this, but of course we are looking for opportunities and trying to patent some of our best concepts, and hopefully we will be able to make a startup company during the coming years that can explore commercialization of this, because at some point it has to be transitioning out from the university labs into an entity that tries to make this a real world device, right? So this is a dream scenario of my research, is that one day you will see this type of devices in houses or in different solar thermal parks where you use this concept. I mean, that is a long-term goal of the research, of course.
And it's astonishing, just to repeat this line, that it's a thermal, like Norbornadiene is a thermal fuel that requires no outside input beyond the sun and operates in a closed-loop system, which is amazing.
Exactly. And the advantage is that you don't need any isolation material. So in a traditional solar thermal system, Someone told me about 60% of the cost is going into isolation materials.
Insulation
material, yeah. And that we don't need in our systems, because there's no heating of the fluid. It's only releasing the heat when we trigger that heat release.
The energy is stored within the bonds of the molecule.
Exactly, as opposed to in a traditional solar thermal system, you do it by heat capacity. You heat something to a higher temperature, and therefore you need to insulate it. But in our system, we do it in chemical storage. There's no heat related to that until we release the energy.
Kasper Motz-Poulsen, I'd like to thank you for joining me on the Green Blues show. Very interesting.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine, yeah. Thank you very much, and I look forward to listening to your podcast in the future, and it's been a pleasure to do this interview.